Welcome to the Speak Sis podcast, where we speak in boldness and support each other in love. We have the lovely three on the air, Miss Chelsea K.
Hey, you guys.
And Miss Deja McGriff.
What's up? What's up?
So we've received tremendous amount of love and feedback from our listeners. So thank you, everybody, for your continuous support. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Speak Sis. You can also connect with us via email at xspeaksis@gmail.com. Well, ladies, we're going to dig right into it. Today, we are talking about buying Black and supporting Black businesses. And our topic is people of color in business. So just before we get into this conversation, I read a few articles about this. And it came out, I found some statistics on it. And these statistics come from the U.S. Census Bureau. So it says 36% of American businesses are owned by African Americans. And of those 36%, 14% of Black-owned businesses are in operation for less than 2 years. Hmm. What are you guys' thoughts about that, those stats? Hmm.
You can go ahead,
I think it just shows that, like, a lot of Black businesses are not succeeding, and that, you know, we have a sustainability issue, possibly. And it'll be interesting to know, like, why those businesses are not succeeding. Are we not supporting each other? Are we not executing properly? Like, you know, it'll be interesting to know what's the case. But it's also sad because, you know, you want to see, you know, your people, like, you know, succeed and do better, because we need more Black-owned businesses. More business of color in general. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so I love to read, you guys. I love research and reading articles and stuff. So another article that I read, it talked about entrepreneurship in the Black community. And it stated, like, entrepreneurship is not pushed in our community. And basically when, you know, Black kids, we go off to college, we get a good career and a good job. We talked about this before. We kind of don't come back, but they're saying that we don't come back because there's not a place for us to come back. Like, we don't have a family business for Black kids to run and to put that knowledge that they got from college into the Black business. So do you guys think that entrepreneurship is not pushed in the Black community? If you do believe this, why is that so?
I think that a lot of Black people want to be entrepreneurs. Like, that's all I hear nowadays, is people saying that they want to go into entrepreneurship. But the truth is, I think a lot of Black people, like, we don't realize how much sacrifice we have to put in, how much work goes into it, how much time goes into it. We don't look at those factors. We just like, oh, I'm gonna start my own business. Like, you know, you got to have a business plan. You can't start from nothing and make it into something, but you got to have some type of plan. So I think one thing that we lack, or maybe we're just impatient, we don't want to do the groundwork of it. We don't want to do the business plan. We just want it to happen. We just want our business to be popping as soon as we put it together. And then, you know, if we throw something together and then we like, well, nobody wants to support me. Black people are always tearing each other down. No, that's not the case. It's just like, this business kind of looks sketchy. So, you know, let you have to prepare it and let people know that you come prepared. Yeah. And they have to be able to trust whatever it is that you're selling or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I agree. And then that's one of the things they were talking about with information. I think a lot of times as Black businesses, we don't do the proper research to conduct a business. Like, you know, like you said, we don't have a business plan most of the time. We don't even know how you start a business plan. What is a business plan? You know, just basic information that we need to know. It's like, I think we have the passion and the drive for it, but it's more so, this is not all Black businesses. I'm basically talking about, like, startups or whatnot, or maybe businesses that may not have succeeded, but we don't have the information that we need to be successful or for the business to succeed.
I think so. I disagree with that, Chaz, because this day and age, we do have the resources. I think it's nothing to go on Google and look up things. I think it's just, we don't have the push from people in the home and people in our communities to help us get to that point where we are researching on our own and so forth. And so, like, you know, I agree with Chelsea, like, a lot of people are desiring to be entrepreneurs, but at the end of the day, sometimes it turns into, like, they call them wannapreneurs or something like that. Like, you want to be an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. but it's all, like, it's all talk. So I think if we can create an environment, you know, in a community of, especially in, you know, the communities of color and the minority communities, where we're motivating people to on their own, like, and research and do everything they need to do for themselves, then, like, we can create, like, a movement of people who have their own stuff. And not only that, getting people to not just think of themselves, but also support other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you think, like, the three of us, you know, we've been highly motivated throughout, you know, our lives, I believe. And, you know, we motivate each other. And so it was nothing for us to start this podcast and research on how to start the podcast, find the Anchor app, you know, like, so, you know, and we, none of us went to school for podcasting. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, we have the resources available, but it's the mind. I think if we just, our community just changed the way we think and the way we teach our people around us to think, you know, it'll change a lot. I don't know if they answered the question, but.
No, no, that's cool. I think you brought up a valid point. And I also think what you said is true as well. But I was thinking, like, in terms of information, like, I agree, like, there's no possible way that you don't have the information. Like, I feel that anybody can be a millionaire out here in these streets just by Google.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different avenues and ways to make money, but it's more so whether you're going to put some work into it. Like, are you going to research how to do a business plan? Do you even know that you need a business plan type of thing, type of information? But I definitely do agree with what you're saying about that, that is true. But so I guess I want to talk about, like, stereotypes of Black businesses. And so just, I guess, talking about the most common stereotypes of Black businesses. And reading an article, it said that the most common stereotype is that the products and services that we produce are inferior, meaning that they're not good enough to compete with competition. Is this something that do you guys agree with that?
No, I don't, because, like, if you have if we're comparing Caucasian businesses to Black businesses, then no, because the biggest thing are a Caucasian toy maker, right? You know everything about making toys. And that's, you spent your life work just making toys, and you created this big toy store, and it's one of the biggest brands ever. But then you have African-American male who also has created a toy store. Has a history in toy making toys. He's a great craftsman, and he has a lot of experience in, like, understanding how toys work, and he's just as good. What separates them other than the color of their skin?
I think you said that the Caucasian person was making them for a long time.
No, it's like, I was saying, like, they both were, like good at making toys in general. They both basically had the same experience. It's just being that in the environment we live in America, the guy that the Caucasian males was able to start a big toy corporation and blow up, but he has the same experience as the Black male. So, mm-hmm. so to me, it's like a matter, it all goes back to, like the skin tone, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, what separates them? Nothing separates them other than their race. If they have the same, if they went to the same college, took the same classes, had the same skills, and they both had potential, like, nothing separates them. And then we've been, like, mentally deceived to believe that one product is better than the other when it's possibly, you know, it's not, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's really deep. It goes all around the board. That's true, because I was seeing this, I watched this video on Facebook one time where this guy was, he did a demonstration on Always sanitary napkins, and he had created his own sanitary napkins, and he was telling Black people, or just anybody in general, he was telling everyone how bad the Always sanitary napkins are versus the ones that he had, which were all natural. But when I read the comments, everybody was like, and this was a Black man, they like, how he know, or what do he know about, you know, pads? How he gonna try to tell a woman what to do? But it would, you know, regardless of all that, it was just a simple fact that he pointed these things out and he created a pad that was better when he showed you, like, firsthand with evidence why the Always pads were not as good as the ones that he created. And, you know, of course, people still had something to say.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that.
That's the point.
I don't know if that ties into what we're talking about. But
yeah, I mean, that's valid, because, I mean, he could very much so be, like, a chemical pad-making person that's worked in the pad industry for years, and just because the color of his skin or the fact that he's a male.
But he, like, he literally researched all of this, and he found the information and showed, he did a demonstration.
Yeah, even, he said even his wife and his daughter used the pads, and they were knowing the difference between how they felt on their cycle. And I don't know what that is. Like, you know, I remember this. I remember that thing because someone actually sent me something to, like, buy into it, and I was just a little skeptical myself. I was like, I don't know. I guess it's because, you know, it's unfortunate that these brands, like, Always, they, you know, they've been around for centuries, and it's just something that you've used ever since you were young, first started your cycle and stuff. And so it's like, you want me to use something different, and you're saying that it's this and this and this, but it's kind of like, I guess it's a trust factor type of thing.
I think it has to do with longevity, too, like, who's been in the game the longest. And a lot of people, just at the end of the day, a lot of people are going to stick with what they know, point blank in the period. Regardless of skin color, they're just going to stick with what they know. And that's not just with pads, anything, you know. So even like with Black businesses in general, like, I know this girl, she crochets, and she makes, like, scarves and hats and a whole bunch of other stuff. And people were asking her questions, like, you know, as far as when she ships them to people and they buy them, they asking her, like, do you charge for shipping and handling, or did you crochet these yourself? Like, they asking her all these questions, or asking her to lower prices. But it's like, you don't ask Amazon that when you buy stuff. You don't ask anyone else that. But when it comes to a Black person, you're questioning. And this is other Black people, like, questioning each other. So why do y'all think that is?
I think it's just, I really think that our race deal with, like, not trusting ourselves. Like, and just, we just been raised in an environment that, like, we trust what, like you said, what we are used to. And, you know, in this country, I hate to say this, but this country is built off, like, you know, white supremacy. And so, like, these people in these big, you know, corners, they have dominated the retail space and the product space, so we used to buying from them, you know. And so, like, when we kind of rise up a little bit, we're not used to it. I almost think that we've been conditioned to even believe that, you know, like, believe that, like, you know what I'm saying, we can trust one product over the other. Now, I will throw out a disclaimer. I'm not saying that every person that produces things from a mainstream is bad. It's just, I don't understand why sometimes when, you know, minorities are starting businesses and stuff, that we don't seem to support people who look like us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it means something to me to see someone win that has been, like, told for, like, decades that they wasn't gonna win. And so I don't know, like, that's the biggest thing for me. I don't know why we don't trust each other. Like, what particularly, only thing I can think of is the fact that we've been raised in an environment where we've had to depend on what's been available for us, and fortunately there hasn't been things that's been produced by black owned and people of color also. I think, but I do think that this world is going to change. I think America is going to change in 20 plus years, because generation, I think it's Z. Is it Z? Yeah, I think Generation Z, who's coming after us, they are diverse. they see the world for what it is. They see the police brutality on the internet. They see the gun marches. They see all this, like, inequality, and they're fighting for equality. So, you know, when I'm all old and rusty, I'm interested to see how all this changed.
Yeah. I don't know what it is either, honestly. I think maybe we don't support each other or whatnot. It's because maybe we had, like, bad experiences. Like, if you experienced a bad customer service experience with a Black person, or, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think that another stereotype, I was going to ask you guys to identify any other stereotypes, but I think that another stereotype is that maybe Black businesses offer bad customer service sometimes. And honestly, I've supported a few Black businesses that, you know, they were good people, but it's like the service was not up to par. But, you know, I'm supporting you because you are a good person. I believe in what you're doing. But honestly, if I was somewhere else, this service would not be acceptable, you know, type of thing. So, what are there any other, like, stereotypes that you guys may be able to identify within Black businesses that maybe, you know, a general stereotype?
The hair salon. The hair, I feel like I've had the worst experience with Black hairstylists. Because either they, like, you know, setting up appointments, they not on time, or you in there all day long. And I think, I get it. You in there doing hair all day. I totally get it. But it's like, you have to develop some type of strategy to get your people in and out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I shouldn't be at the hair salon all day.
Right.
I shouldn't be there all day long waiting on you to do my hair. To the Caucasian hairstylist, because she don't know what to do with my hair. You know, I've never met a Caucasian person that could tame my hair. But I think we have to do better in that aspect, you know, with these appointments and stuff. And this may be coming from a personal standpoint. But that's what I have experienced. Like, you know, you're in there all day long, and sometimes they're rude to you. They don't want to answer all of your questions. And it's like, when people go to get their hair did with Black people, it's like, I think most people have this mentality, like, if you got to ask the price, then you must can't afford it, or you don't ask the price. But I'm like, no, I'm asking because I'm paying you, and you're doing my hair, so I need to know how much it's going to be. I need to know everything that you're going to do. So I think that's one of the stereotypes, is just, you know, bad customer service when it comes down to hair salons, most definitely. Yeah. But the crazy part is that, you know, I feel like it's kind of like the nail salon. They may not be nice all the time, but you still gonna go. You know what I mean? Just like, what was that food place we was talking about? They had horrible customer service, but we continued to go.
Is it the cupcake place in Montgomery? I ain't gonna say the name.
No, they good.
Okay.
Who is don't it? Have the best customer
service. No, it was Taco Bell.
No, it wasn't Taco Bell, because I cannot go to Taco Bell. It was somewhere else that they had terrible customer service. I was like, I can't help it, though. I'm still going to go. I can't remember.
Was it the original spot at Island Delight?
It may have been. I don't know. Now, that's one place I still got to go there. Still got to go. Terrible customer service, but the food is what keep bringing me back.
But, you know, when we were in Selma, our friend Naya brought up a good point about Black-owned businesses. She was, like, saying how, like, when you have people who are in, you know, Black businesses or whatever, we, like, deem their service as bad, but we don't try to inform them or professionally inform them on their service. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know, we just deem it as bad and let them continue to be bad. You know what I'm saying?
So right. That's
me
true.
And her was talking, like, you know, we was trying to figure out. So we were just talking, like, through solutions or whatever. And I was like, so do you think it would be beneficial for another minority group to just, or like a Black group or any, you know, people of color to come up with this minority consulting company where we go around and be like, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you need to work on to kind of help these people succeed. You know, like, what?
That sounds like a place in
what kind of
I really do think that's actually a brilliant idea. I really do. I think that would be nice. And it, another thing that I've noticed with black businesses too, when it comes down to correcting them, they can't take criticism. Sure. Cause it's like, you don't tell me how to run my business, but it's like, boo boo, it's not running. The business is not running.
Might be shut down in a couple of months.
Right. I'm trying to hope.
I think also a big issue too is that, like, for small business consulting, small businesses may not be able to afford, like, the consultation that they need to, you know.
Or they don't know that they need consultation.
Yeah.
It's a self-approach to me. Like, you know, if you can't go in there expecting $2,000 from a small business for a consulting fee, you know what I'm saying? So if you are a consulting firm, you have to like make up in your mind, be like, look, I'm not gonna get a bunch of money from doing, you know, consultations with these small businesses. But it depends on the way you set your business model up. You know, if you're a business that focuses on volume, like getting like 20 stores in 1 week and charging $500 a piece, you know what I'm saying? That stuff stacks up, you know, but it depends on the way you do your business model. And, you know, and also like the reason why you're doing it. If you're doing it for money, I don't think you should do it at all. You're doing it for these people to succeed, then that's another thing. Like, I will come to Chelsea's business and be like, Chelsea, if you sign up for this consultation, I will guarantee that you'll increase your sales by 8%. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing?
It would be something I would personally be interested in.
Yeah. That. So it's like, you know, and if I tell you like the flat rate, because my ultimate goal is to help you, not take money from you, you know? I mean, but we also have to understand, and this is another issue with black businesses, is that people don't work for free.
And they're not investing in their own businesses in that way. Like, you know, reaching out to these groups of people who can help them. I think that we too live in a microwave generation too. Like, we want everything quick. And it's like, we want it quick, but it's really not working for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I think also too, you know, not to say, you know, there's definitely some great, as I said before, some very successful black businesses out here. But the businesses that we're talking about are just maybe startup businesses that may, like those statistics we gave with the 14% that did not make it and within the 2 years. So this is the type of businesses that we're talking about. But what I wanted to say is also, I think too, it's just strategy is lacking too. That's important. Having a strategy and knowing how to execute that as well, I think that's something that's lacking with black businesses as well. Of just what we all have been saying, just getting the feedback from other people, taking that feedback and developing better strategies as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, what ways can you guys, or what suggestions you have for this? What ways can we change our mindset about supporting black business?
I think if you look at yourself and be like, I'm starting a business, and how would I want my people to support me? And how can I give back to my people? Like, I think it is important to always, you know, look at yourself in a way, but also in a way where you're looking at others. Like, you know, how would I want people to perceive me? I mean, we can take this podcast, for example. You know, we're three African-American women, who are like making that set time aside to like create this podcast and put it out. Like, do we want people to support us? Like, so should we support other podcasts? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, to me, I feel like we should just think about what it would be like if we were in, you know, those shoes, and how can we work to help other people in our shoes, if that makes sense, you know?
Right.
So I agree with that. I think too, we have to realize it's not like a competition, although for some people it may be a competition, but I like what you said about listening to other podcasts, because I do listen to other podcasts, and that's kind of what inspired me to want to start my own, is listening to those. So yeah
speaking of that too, Chelsea, about competition, I think that's so important. That's one of the reasons why as a community I feel like we kind of fail, because we, I understand this competition all around us. Literally everybody is, there's always going to be somebody in your market that is better than you. So why not help, if you're down with someone else in your community, why not help each other grow and learn? I know you're competing against each other, but this is for the community as well. I know it's a business, I understand, but it's also for the community as well. And I think a lot of times we get too competitive with stuff, and, you know, even like, for example, if I was starting a small business and there was someone else who was also starting a small business and we're using the same business model type of thing, why wouldn't we help each other? Because this is how we grow and this is how we learn. And when we get up there to the top, we'll have that connection and that network that we created by when we were at the bottom, yeah. You know? So
I think we just have to be willing to just accept the fact that that people are better than us sometimes, and people will like do better than we will. People will exceed and execute their gifts better than us. And when we accept that, I'm telling you, it'll be so much easier for us to find our own gifts and find our own ways to execute the things that we have going for ourselves. And we spend less time thinking and putting energy in, like, other people's success. Like, I've personally, mm-hmm. I think, dealt with that with people. And it's like, bro, if you really focus on yourself right now, I promise, you know what I'm saying, it'll make a bigger deal, you know what I'm saying, than you just focusing on what's in front of you. I can humbly say that sometimes I do get bothered when people do things better than I do, because one of my faults is, like, I like to do the best at whatever I do. But also, like, the Lord has been reminding me that, you know, people will do better than you and people will be better than you. And I think that's one of the biggest things we need to accept in the Black community is people will be better than you.
That's true. Somebody always will do better than you. And that reminds me of this session thing I went to. It's a lady who is over something, I think marketing or something at Coca-Cola. And she was a Black lady. She was talking about, you know, why not, when you make it to the top, why don't you go back and help someone else? Because you were at the bottom at one point and you needed a mentor. You had a mentor. That mentor had the guts to go back and feed you information and help you learn and grow. So why can't you do that as well? You know, so I think that's a big thing too, that as Black people in Black businesses that we need to harp on, just making sure we go back and support each other. You know, when your business is a Fortune 500, now it's time for you to go back into your community and help some young entrepreneurs out there get to the top as well.
Yeah, so yeah, that's good, Chaz.
So my final question is, what are you guys personally doing to support Black businesses more?
I do buy Black when I can. If I got the money, I'll buy Black. So I think to support them more, if I see something that I know everyone else, like, say, for instance, if there's a Black person or a business that's selling a certain product and all of the people who purchased this product have a problem with it or they have a specific concern, I think instead of me joining in on that conversation, I would maybe reach out to whoever owns this business and be like, hey, this is what the people are saying. So that's one of the things, too, I think Black businesses should do, is they should survey people, go out into the communities and see what people want, see what people are unsatisfied with. You know, don't be afraid of constructive criticism. Don't be afraid for people to tell you, hey, this product sucks. Because this is, even though they're telling you that, this is what's going to help you. This motivates you to want to do it even better. And you shouldn't let, you know, one person saying, or a whole bunch of people, even if it is just one person saying, this product is not good. Don't let that stop you from your ultimate goal. You know what I mean? Work on perfecting your craft from the criticism that you do get. So that's what I would suggest. I would just suggest going out into the communities and seeing what the people want. And that's one way that I would support Black businesses is, you know, telling them when I know that there's a group of people who feel a certain way about a product, I will let the business owner know.
For me, just going to places that I know are owned by, you know, African-Americans and just not going again, just keep like going over and over this restaurant, yeah. in town called Soul Man. It's so good. Lord have mercy, that's so good. Their wings, I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm overdoing it, but they have the best wings. And I go there all the time. And one time I went with a friend and I had grabbed all the little cards at the register. And she was like, are you looking for a home? Or are you going to get your lashes done? I was like, I just love it when we succeed. So if anybody else looking for a home or get their lashes done, I'm going to give them these cards.
That's right. See, and that's what it's about right there. That's what it's about.
So, like, even though, like, I hope they still in my purse, but... but also, just, like, my friends, like, y'all are really dope, and y'all have y'all things going on. And, like, when we do things individually, like, promoted it on social media, like, I know, Chaz, you're doing your thing, and Chelsea, you're doing yours. So, it's, like, just being able to kind of just open up my following to like promote y'all or whatever and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I agree. I think one of the ways that I support through word of mouth, and of course like what you said, like going, you know, choosing maybe to go this place to a black business instead of another type of business. But I think word of mouth, like y'all, I love cupcakes. So if I go to I get my cupcakes from a black owned business, I'm going to go ahead and shout them out. Josetti's cupcake.
We love you, Josetti. Okay,
listen,
you got the best cupcakes in Montgomery.
In Montgomery, Alabama.
Gigi, who? Who Gigi?
Exactly. And so, like, I love to like talk about things because I love cupcakes. It comes so naturally. I just tell people, girl, yes, Josetti's down there mm-hmm. on such and such street. Go ahead and check them out. And so,
same with Island Delight. We telling everybody.
If you're in Montgomery, hit up Island Delight.
Island Delight. We should get paid for these advertisements.
Girl, because we out here putting them on the menu. You know, my friends from back home actually been coming up here to eat at Island Delight. So pay me. Run me my money, Island Delight.
Just pay me your bill.
Exactly what we were talking about the whole time. Why you won't do it for free? See, y'all ain't right.
But the best advertisement really is word of mouth, though. That's the best kind of advertisement you can have because they either gonna destroy it or uplift it. They gonna tell you, girl, they nasty over there, or they, you know,
it's so true. It's so true. But for real, like Joe Zaddy's band, listen, that red velvet cheesecake cupcake, Jesus is back there mixing up.
He really is. And same thing with the oxtails down at the Island of Light. God himself grabbed that ox and cut his tail off. He grabbed that ox and cut his tail off and said, feed my people. Okay?
And we are satisfied. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for tuning in to Speak Sis Podcast, where we speak in boldness and support each other in love. If you want to stay informed and updated on what's going on with Speak Sis, be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Speak Sis. Also, connect with us with any questions or prayer requests or feedback via email at speaksis@gmail.com. Until next
time. Oh, wait. I got a joke.
Oh, good.
Well, it's not really a joke. I just want y'all to ponder on this, all you black people out there. When you clean out a vacuum cleaner, you become the vacuum cleaner.